First, the GED, or High School Equivalency Diploma Test, was revamped for the first time since 2002 last year. Part of the argument for the change was that the exam didn't actually test people's knowledge of what they would otherwise learn in high school.
Last year, the exam was computerized and brought in line with Common Core standards. Since the change, the number of people who passed the exam plummeted from over 540,000 in 2013 to about 86,000 in 2014.
The 2013 numbers may be somewhat inflated because of the rush to take the exam before it was changed, but many are saying that the rigor and cost of the new GED have also played a big role in that draw.
In fact, one writer for the Daily Beast, an Ivy League grad with a high school degree, a bachelor's, and a master's, set out to take the exam only to flunk it.
Here with us now is Anna Zambi. She's an administrative manager at the Madison Area Technical College School of Academic Advancement and coordinator of the GED changeover. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how exactly was the GED changed in this most recent swing through it?
I think the biggest changes were that we went from a paper-based exam to a computer-based exam. I think that was definitely the biggest step. The second was in cost. The cost did go up. A lot of that cost was passed on down to the student. And then, of course, the content of the test changed. And it's testing students in a different manner, more analytical stuff or critical thinking instead of maybe just random facts or memorization.
So you said the content has changed to make it more analytical, critical thinking. In terms of how a student prepares for the test, what does that mean?
What we're finding in the classroom is that the strategies for passing the test are a little bit different because we're teaching things a little bit different. But we're finding that you're going to have to spend a little bit more time in the classroom, more consistency. Kind of the attendance behaviors have to change in order to really master the material in order to pass the test. Whereas before, maybe it was, come on in, we'll be flexible, you know, life happens, other things can happen, we'll work with you. Now it's a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more tough.
You mentioned a trio of changes there. What was the case for making those changes last year?
The test was brought into the 21st century, so it meant requiring a computer to take the test. You now have to pay exclusively with a credit card. And also, we've adapted the content of the test to kind of reflect the Common Core standards, which are being used throughout high schools. And that is where we've talked about, you know, kind of developing that critical thinking, that problem solving or analytical skills that students would need to be successful in college or in the workforce.
So is it fair to say, just across the board, that this exam is tougher, it's harder than the previous one?
I believe so.
And what about, you know, why people take a test like this? Does it serve the people who take the test that it is harder, that they have to have mastery maybe over more things than they may have had to before?
And that leads me to the question of who is the GED test for and what should it measure? Historically, the test has always been the gateway towards employment exclusively or possibly into a college track. The test has always struggled with meeting those two groups, and I'll say that this test, the new test, the 2014 test on the computer, is further away from straddling that divide. I think that the new test is very much geared towards preparing students for college, not necessarily the skills that one might need in the workforce. Not to say that the test is not appropriate for students who would want to enter the workforce. Computer literacy skills, analytical skills, all of those are great anywhere, you know, and applicable in life. However, the test is very academic now, and I think that tends to scare away a certain population, and I think that the computer technology needs, you know, the access to computers, the necessity to pay with a credit card, all of that kind of excludes a certain group of people that might actually benefit the most from receiving a GED certificate.
In terms of this drop in people who have been taking the exam, what do you put it down to?
Twofold. Number one is we love deadlines. Once you put a deadline on that, December 2013, everybody's going to scramble to finish whatever they started. So there was a tremendous push to finish everybody before the changeover deadline. So we saw record numbers of students in our classrooms, in the classrooms of of community-based organizations and passing the test. So, of course, the following year, we're not going to see that many students because most of them did finish already. The second biggest reason, I think, is that we used the rigor of the tests changing and also the cost of the test rising as kind of that push to get people to finish. And I think that that is still staying with us, is that the test is harder and it costs more. So people aren't as willing to walk in the door and try this as maybe we'll see in the next couple of years.
You say the test has been modernized. Part of the effect, it sounds like, is that it is harder. It has a cost. It's on a computer or has a bigger price tag. At the end of the day, though, don't we want people to get their high school degrees, their GEDs, and if fewer people are taking this, is there something that's not working about it?
Historically, we always see a drop in test takers when the test changes over. Typically, it changes over every 10 years. This one was a 12-year period. So I think that the low numbers are typical of what you would see when the GED tests change. I think they will go up. And I agree, it's not bad to challenge, you know, us as a community to reach other goals. The test is following that. You know, it's challenging us in different ways. I think we'll get on board and we'll learn how to deal with the test and take care of it in other ways.
You mentioned computers. So in terms of accessibility, reaching the broadest group of people, is that a barrier for some people that it has to be done on a computer?
It is. I think that the test data that you'll see now, the type of passer that's passing these tests probably have a computer in their home. They probably have some sort of computer literacy level that's pretty high. These are timed tests, and if you are not familiar with the computer, that might affect your ability to pass the test. I think if you don't have a credit card, if you don't have money in the bank and a credit card, suddenly this is now a new barrier for you. And that shouldn't happen. You know, the high school completion should be accessible to everybody. And so we have significant challenges in how we meet those, making sure that everybody who is entitled to a high school diploma or needs a second chance, like a GED, is able to achieve that.
So there are things in place, and if someone doesn't have a computer at home, might not have those computer literacy skills, what do you recommend they do so they get up to speed, so when they go in there to take that test, that they're not hung up on something like they can't get their mouse to move around the screen or something?
You know, we at the Technical College and a lot of the community-based organizations around town definitely have opportunities. We have computer basics classes. We have GED classes. We have basic skills classes. We can provide access to computers. We can provide instruction in math and language arts and science and social studies, everything that you need. It might not happen overnight, but it will happen. And I think that's the message that I'd like to get out, is that it is achievable. We will make sure that it is achievable. But we'll have a few hurdles along the way, specifically the credit cards. I think, you know, you have to go and buy a burner card, put money onto a credit card, and then take it in and register on a computer. If you don't have a credit card or a computer at home, you're going to need some help. You're going to need the community to step up to help you out.
Do you get people calling you saying, yeah, I want to take this, but I don't have a credit card?
We address that at some of our orientations with options. If you don't have a credit card, you know, you can, and have cash, we can get you a burner card, you know, a prepaid credit card to use. Or there might be some scholarships available. There's certain grants that pay for the GED test for certain folks. So there's options, and we know about them, and we connect everybody to the right option.
So it's just a matter of navigating your way through these things.
That
there are options, there are workaround solutions, but sometimes you have to look for them or find them.
You do. You have to walk in the door and ask.
Now, in terms of why people take the GED, what kind of goals do people have? Why do most people take it?
I think our experience at the Technical College shows that a majority, and I'm saying probably over 70%, have the goal of obtaining employment or maintaining employment. Perhaps they need it to get a job. They're unemployed. They need it to keep a job. And I would say that 30% might have that intent of going into college. Not to say that the folks who want immediate employment aren't interested in furthering their you know, technical trainings or whatever. It just might not be that semester or that next academic year, but they might come back to the college later on.
So only 30% want to go on to college.
Immediately. Right, only now. 30% mm-hmm. want to get a GED in order to go into college.
Right. So the 70% wants to keep a job, hold a job, maybe go on to college.
And then probably will be employed, come back out, come back to the college for further training in their career track. They don't come back right away, but they do come back.
And in terms of who's taking this test, is there a typical profile of the person who takes a GED?
We see folks of all ages, all races, coming through to complete high school.
Now, several other states have stopped offering the GED. They're opting for other, newer exams. What do you think about that? Should that be something Wisconsin is looking at?
That could be something that Wisconsin could look at. Wisconsin is unique in that it offers GED testing as well as other high school completion options. But I like the ability to choose, and I like that there's more options out there, and that competitive nature between those three tests, the TASK and the HiSET and the GED, to make things a little bit more competitive.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us and talking about the GED today.
You bet. Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Anna Zambi about changes to the GED made last year. She's an administrative manager at Madison Area Technical College School of Academic Achievement and coordinator of the GED changeover.